Today on Conversations with Fifi and TK, we have the one and only Kathy Kinney. Kathy Kinney, born and raised in Wisconsin, is best known for her iconic role as Mimi in the hit TV series The Drew Carey Show. She has appeared in dozens of movies and TV shows and can currently be seen in the ABC family hit series The Secret Life of the American Teenager. Along with her friend Cindy Ratzlaff, she is the co-author of two books, Queen of Your Own Life, The Grown-Up Woman's Guide to Calming Happiness and Getting the Life You Deserve, and Queenism's 101 Jolts of Inspiration. Kathy is also the star and co-producer of the award-winning website MrsP.com, which promotes literacy and the joy of reading for children. Kathy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
It's a pleasure to have
you. I sound
you.
So busy, don't I? That I was listening to you read that. I was like, whew, I'm busy. But I'm not. Actually, Secret Life of the American Teenager, they grew up. So that show is, I mean, I guess it's still running, but they grew up in March of this year, and it's kind of dribbled to a halt now. Nothing you can do with aging, can you? Just happens. But I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's an absolute honor to be able to talk with you today. So it truly does sound as if you're very busy. You're a Hollywood actor, a self-help author, a literacy advocate. You're a woman of many talents, diverse interests, and multiple accomplishments. What is it about your personal background and your life philosophy that best explains your success as well as your passion for helping others?
That's an interesting question. I think my background is, you know, I'm straight from the heart of the Midwest. And while you can certainly take the girl out of Wisconsin, you can't take Wisconsin out of the girl. And even though there are many serial killers and, you know, we always say serial killers, beer and cheese, I really think that in the Midwest you find the salt of the earth people, and that's certainly who my parents were. But I think that I credit my success with just walking through my fear. I believe that everybody's afraid, and it's how you deal with your fear that makes people decide if they want to be your friend or not. And I was lucky enough to have my mother absolutely refused to have me stand still. And so all my life I've always been just as afraid as everyone else, but kept on moving forward. And I found success to be just as difficult as failure, you know, or as just marking a place in time. I think that when people get success, they just don't know. They think they know what it's going to be about, but it's not. And I found success to be very hard. I had deservability issues and self-esteem issues, and I think that when I finally came to terms with that, I realized that what I wanted to do was give back, that you can't keep what you have unless you give it away. And I have found so many wonderful, interesting, quirky ways to give it away, and it's what makes me happy. Mm. Yeah, that's me. Quirky, happy.
You know, when I said I'm interviewing Kathy Kinney today, you know, people's eyes lit up. You know, Fiona and I, we talked to a lot of different, you know, self-help authors and life coaches and so forth. But, you know, to talk to someone that we recognize from the television set is an extra special experience for us all. So, you know, I know that a lot of people have glamorous fantasies about, you know, what life must be like for the professional actor. What would you say in your personal experience is the biggest myth that people have about working in Hollywood?
Well, I think that, again, it has to do with once you're successful, everything's going to be perfect, which is so not true. And, you know, Hollywood is one of those towns where I think that a lot of people come here and they think that there's just a teaspoonful of success. And if someone else has it, then there's not going to be any left for them. And so it makes it a very competitive town, and the kind of town where if you don't have a way to generate or renew your self-esteem, you know, you're going to end up on the ground underneath someone's feet, because in this town there is an infinite amount of success and an infinite amount of creativity. And I'm actually convinced that the best actors in the world probably don't even live in New York or Los Angeles or even Vancouver, for that matter. You know, they're just wandering around doing community theater somewhere and being really brilliant at it and enjoying it. And that's the thing about acting. It's not about, you know, big paychecks, although I'm not going to lie, it's fantastic to be paid for your talent. But I think you have to come to terms with how you got that talent, where it came from, how can you keep it, and how can you get out of your own way to just enjoy it. And so I think that I don't lead a very glamorous life. I'm actually sitting in my basement, and anyone lives in Los Angeles, they know nobody has a basement in Los Angeles. I have a huge basement on my house, which I'm so grateful for, and this is where my office is, or my woman cave, if that's what you want to call it, and where I lead a very creative life, and I love it. I love the life that has come to me, that I've accepted, that I've created, and it has nothing to do with red carpets or gowns. It has a lot to do with, you know, capris and T-shirts from Target, and that's my uniform, and I just enjoy living. I enjoy the life that I've created, and I'm grateful that I've been hired as an actor, and my background's improvisational comedy. Like, we always say comedy, but then you cross your fingers and hope it really is comedy. And, you know, I live in L.A. because this is close to my job, and I haven't found that place yet in the world where I'm supposed to be that feels like home. I mean, this might be it, and maybe one day I'll go, oh, I'm home. But can you ever feel at home in Los Angeles? I don't know, TK, can you?
I'm still taking time to find out.
Kathy, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you about was, you were very upfront and vulnerable and revealing when you are talking about personal challenges that you faced in your life, whether they be living in LA or other challenges that you've faced. Could you tell us and our listeners about something specific that you've really been proud of overcoming, and some specifics about how you managed to cope with a challenge that you faced?
Well, I guess the first thing that pops into my mind was that when I was 15, my father passed away. And even though he'd been ill for 10 years, it was a surprise to me. I guess no one had bothered to mention that what he had was fatal. And so he passed away. That was a very difficult time. And I think it led to a long period of low self-esteem and grief and sadness, because I think that in this country, we just don't have a lot of positive ways to grieve. People aren't taught how to grieve. And so I felt very lost, and I didn't like myself at all. I always say that my self-esteem was below sea level. And, you know, I don't know if I had anything to do with surviving that and coming to the grace of understanding on the other side, or if it was just some power greater than me. But I feel extremely, and this might sound weird, but I feel extremely grateful for that experience of my father passing. And while I would rather, of course, have him here, that roadblock and the way it made me change my life and the path that I entered on, I'm extremely grateful. I wouldn't be here talking to you now. And I was just talking to someone the other day who had a loss in their life. And, you know, that first 24 hours of grief is so acute and feels unbearable. But if you can survive that, you can survive anything. And I mean, I hate to swing off into a discussion of life and death, but honestly, it always feels to me that, you know, death is such a huge part of life that you need to celebrate life and live it every day, live every moment, try to find the joy in it, and always try to, and I'm not perfect, and I don't do this, but this is my guideline. I try to come from love and understanding, and I don't want to be judged, so I try not to judge anybody else, which doesn't mean that if you were wearing an orange striped and polka dot sweater, I wouldn't go, interesting sweater, you know, because of course I do see fashion, and it is a visual world, but for me, overcoming that and continuing as I grow older, I find that, of course, more and more people pass on, and that it's just for me a recommitment to the life that I live. When I pass away, I don't want to go, oh, poop, you know, what did I do? I didn't do this. I wanted to do that. I want to make sure that when I close my eyes, I'm like, yeah, I really got to do some great stuff. I'm proud of that life. So that's where I come from.
You know,
wow,
Kathy,
that's,
you know,
inspiring.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I can hear that enthusiasm. And you know, when you talked about celebrating life, you know, Fiona and I were taking a look at your blog, Queen of Your Own Life. And in that description, which I find to be very inspiring in and of itself, you define Queen of Your Own Life as an attitude, a way of life for grown-up women everywhere. And you describe the website as being a place where you invite women to find their own ways of celebrating life. Can you elaborate a bit more on the whole Queen of Your Life theme and the work that you're doing to help other people find the lessons that you've learned through the things you've been through?
You know, I was really lucky with my writing partner, who's also my best friend from college, to go to she lives in Pennsylvania. And so this last week on Friday, we spoke at the Pennsylvania Women's Conference, and it was fantastic because there was supposed to be 5,000 women there, and Hillary Clinton was the keynote speaker, but there are actually over 7,000 women there. And we were slated to speak at the end of the day on the habit of happiness. And so we said to each other, well, you know, end of the day, everybody's going to go home. Hillary speaks at 1 o'clock, so we're speaking at 3. Everybody will be on the road. If there are two women there, we'll be grateful. And we got in this room. We'd been led to believe that there could be up to 150, but there were well over 350, and the room was packed. And we were so gratified. And in talking about happiness, the realization that I had when I was little that, you know, you're not born knowing how to continue to stay happy in life, that it really is a choice, that life has a way of battering you, but if you don't find a way to choose resilience, like I said, somebody's going to be stepping on your head. You're going to be lying on the ground. And there's this fantastic Oscar Wilde quote that we're all lying in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars. And I like to think that I'm looking up at the stars and that everybody's got a chance to look up at the stars. And so we talk about the practice and the habit of happiness. And you know, I just did this the other day. We say, when you get up, think of the first thing that makes you happy. I was grateful that my electric toothbrush hadn't run down. I was grateful that I could brush my teeth with my electric toothbrush. I was grateful I had toothpaste. I was grateful that I woke up. It's about finding the things that, the small things in life that make you happy, rather than looking at the things that you don't have. And some people call it making a gratitude list. We think about that book and the movie Pollyanna, because somehow Pollyanna has become this four-letter word. I don't know how. But it's just, it's okay to see the good in life. Those are the people that you want to spend time with. You don't want to spend time with someone that's like, oh, yeah, I hurt my foot, my grandma's friend who, you know, lived near her sister, passed away. You don't want people who suck up the negativity of the world. You want people who show up and say, yep, you know, there's stuff going on, but today I choose to be happy. And in this moment, everything's just fine. And I'm going to give you that as a gift. I'm going to be a positive image, a positive friend in your life. And we spoke about it, you know, about how to clean your mental closet, we call it. Let go of the things that don't work for you in your life anymore and keep the things that do. And we call it, because we have the Queen of Your Own Life brand, we call it banish. You know, banish. I like to banish my feelings of low self-esteem. And I like to keep my sense of humor because I think it's my humor that makes life so enjoyable. We talk about for women, and maybe Fiona, you know this, and maybe JK, you too, that, you know, it's really hard sometimes to set a boundary. Someone asks you to do something, and you want them to like you, and you think maybe you're the only one who actually knows how to do it, and so you say yes when you really want to say no, and then you're full of resentment, and they can feel it, and they don't even know what they did. And so we talk about setting strong boundaries to take care of yourself. And the thing, I'm sure you wanted me to go on like this, but and here, stop at this one. But I think that we need to redefine, or just even read the definition, the true definition of beauty, because nowhere does it say that you have to be 5'10", leggy, large-bosomed, 21-year-old blonde woman. You know, beauty means pleasing to the eye and the senses. And so while it's a hard row to hoe, what we're trying to do is just convince women that they're fine just the way they are, that they're beautiful, brilliant, and valuable. And I think once that you understand that, you always get to come back to it. And I'm, like I said, life can batter you and it can knock you down, but I think if you understand the habit of happiness and the fact that it's a choice, you get to rise up much faster. You get up off that ground and you're like, I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's just, and that's what we were doing. So it was a great conference, and we were so happy because we had them, they bought all these books to sell, and we were sure we were going to be carrying them all home with us, and they completely sold out, and people were like, we want your book, and it's like, go to Amazon, just get it. But I think, again, this just goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, you can't keep it if you don't give it away, and isn't it more fun to live in a world where people are on the adventure of finding happiness and becoming the person that they're supposed to be? I think that's a much more fun world to live in, don't you?
I wholeheartedly agree. You know, I have a follow-up about some of the things you just said about embracing our own unique, personalized brand of beauty. This past week, you wrote a very inspiring post called Looking Through Binoculars at Life. And I like to read this for our listeners, and then I'll ask you my follow-up. You wrote the following. She had a tendency to look at herself as if she were using binoculars. The truth was, no one else could even begin to see what she perceived as her gigantic flaws. It was time to change focus and see what everyone else saw, a warm, wonderful, and delightful woman. Dare to look at yourself with the naked eye, and let's let the tiny imperfections remain microscopic, shall we? Here's my question to you, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
What advice and encouragement can you offer to those who want to look at themselves with the naked eye of non-judgmental compassion, but who are surrounded by family members or coworkers or peers that they can't just easily separate themselves from, who happen to magnify their imperfections for them?
That's definitely a hard one. You know, I use my imagination to heal myself rather than torture myself. You know, my imagination is so big and vivid that, you know, if I have a headache, it's a brain tumor. You know, itchy foot, cancer of the foot. You know, I have that kind of imagination. So I've begun to use my imagination to heal myself. And sometimes if I'm going into a situation where there is a lot of negativity, when I take my shower in the morning, I imagine that I'm showering on a non-stick coating. They used to call it Teflon, but that's one of those antiquated words now. I just imagine that I'm showering on this non-stick coating so that when people say things, it just slips right off me. Just like, because, you know, all of life is an inside job. You know, they always say that about happiness, but truly all of life is an inside job. And, of course, we're carrying so much baggage from our childhood, but I'm one of those people who believes that it's never too late to have a happy childhood. And, you know, people that are unhappy, they want you to be unhappy as well, but you don't have to be. It just takes practice to take care of yourself, and it does feel really uncomfortable. And that's why one of the things that we also say about being happy is you want to find trusted, and this is the key, agenda-free friends. One day I said to my friend Cindy Ratzlaff, we've been friends so long we don't even want to mention it anymore, but it's like almost 35 years. And I said, why are we still friends? And she said, because you don't have an agenda for me. And I was like, really? And I thought about it. I never really heard that in terms of friendship, but it was true. I love her no matter what. I would love her if she gained a lot of weight, if she got really thin, if she drank a lot or she didn't drink a lot, if she got a really fancy job and moved to Gay Paris, I would still love her. I only want the best for her. And there are many people in our lives who we think want that for us, but they don't. And the process of letting them go for your own health and leaving that opening to invite positive, agenda-free people into your life is a really important thing to do. And, you know, I've had people say negative things to me. I had an uncle that I didn't always intend on being an actress. I liked working in the TV studio, but I had an uncle say to me one time, well, you're too fat to be on TV. And I was like, oh, but I don't even want to be on TV. And, you know, I thought about that for a while. He was one of those judge and jury people that lived in my head. And then I was like, what does he know? Really? And then I ended up becoming an actress. And my aunt used to, she would tape an episode of something I was on. And then every time he came in the room, she would show that. She'd have that on, make him watch that, like to eat his words. And, you know, he passed away a few weeks ago. And it was very sad to have him go. But I'm trying not to take life personally. He had a rough life, and he was just kind of dumping on me the way people had dumped on him. And I just don't take life as personally as I did. Sometimes I do. Like, oh, grumble, grumble, whitey, you know. But like I said, I get over it so much faster. I don't think, you know, I'm not Buddha. I'm not going to ever be perfect, because that doesn't mean, you know, being a human being and being perfect, they just don't work together. But I'd like to think that the journey that I'm on, I can forgive more quickly and move on, because it's healthier for me. I mean, again, wouldn't you rather live in a world where people say, I always have my foot in my mouth. I think I have the right thing to say at the right time, but I'm often seen with my foot in my mouth, and now I go, gee, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, apologizing and moving on and keeping the friendship just makes me healthier and happier.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kathy, here's a question coming to you from the authors that on Facebook. They know that you are an inspiration, but they want to know, do you always feel inspired when you write? A question that often comes up is, do you suffer from writer's block, and how do you cope with that if you sit down to a blank page and have nothing to say?
Well, actually, this is I do and I don't, and I do and I don't. I believe in my infinite creativity. And so far, I haven't had any major writer's block, because here's the way we wrote our book. I'm offering this. Someone had given me something called writer's block. It looks like a giant square of note paper. And on each page, it had something to help you move along. And the one that I always remember is the officials at Graceland say that every year Elvis still gets 35 Valentines. Write a story about someone who would send a Valentine to Elvis. And my friend Cindy, who does live in Pennsylvania and I live in Los Angeles, via Skype, we would sit there and I read that to her, and then I set a kitchen timer for 10 minutes and we typed. And when the timer went off, we read the stories to each other, and hers was brilliant. It was just brilliant. And so we did that every day as a way to uncover our voice, our writing voice. And then finally, a few days into it, I said, okay, you've met a woman who's 30 years old. She's feeling hopeless. She doesn't know what direction her life should go in. She has no self-esteem. What do you say to her? You know, cranked up 15 minutes on the kitchen timer, and we typed it, and that was the beginning of our book. And so I've never had really horrible writer's block, because everything inspires me. You know, that's what we say, because you know, the other thing I do is at MrsP.com, which is the children's site, and we always say reading exercises your imagination, just like going to the gym. And so I think that my imagination's in pretty good shape right now. So I'm inspired by everything that I see around me. And so it's easy for me. We post these queenisms, which we call these jolts of inspiration, every day on our Facebook site. And I love writing them. And the writing of that positive affirmation is really easy. And I do it very quickly, because the thing that I enjoy is actually manipulating the vintage image that I'm going to put with it. I love Photoshop. I love Photoshop, and I love something called PicMonkey, which is a free online photo thing. You can change hair colors and put on eyeshadow and color their lips and their hair. And I like adjusting I enjoy enhancing these vintage photos of women who lived long ago and posting it with that affirmation. So long answer to say, nope, haven't had much writer's block. Not saying it can't happen, but I'm prepared. I'm prepared.
Kathy, you brought up a few things here, and reading was one of them. And my next question for you is, which do you enjoy more, reading or writing?
I think I enjoy reading more. I mean, I think of writing as a second career and something I was always destined to do, but my first addiction in life was daydreaming. I could just spin off and I'd be riding a horse on the plains of, you know, and my second addiction, and probably still my worst, is I'm an obsessive reader. And I'm not reading Stephen Hawking's The Black Hole. I'm reading historical mysteries and biographies. I love to read. Love it. Mm-hmm. Are you guys readers?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. One of us is not so much a writer, but a big reader.
Really? Are you going to reveal, Fiona? Or is it a mystery?
TK is a great writer, and that's one of the things that I really admire about him. And he reads a lot, too, so he helps me along there. But, you know, it's just so exciting to talk to you about this. When you said, oh, your first love was reading, I'm like, oh, yes, she's a woman of my own heart.
I love it. I love to read. In fact, I ran into someone who's a peace activist from the Sudan, and he said, we're asking people to give things up for a month and use that money and donate it to help create peace. And, you know, my life's really narrow. I was born and raised in Wisconsin. I'm allergic to all dairy products. It's so true. I'm allergic to soy and wine and chocolate, all the things that he was suggesting that you give up. Caffeine, I don't drink coffee. And finally I said, you know, I'm going to give up downloading books onto my iPad for a month and just read all the hardcover books I already own that I haven't read, because I will read three things at once. I'm like, you know, it's just such a great, it's a great addiction, isn't it?
It is a wonderful addiction.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand you over to TK now.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to books, I am a book addict. I love the way books look. I love the way they smell. I love the way they feel in my hands. Anytime I go to a library or to a Barnes & Noble, I like fill the books on the shelf screaming my name, take me home with you. And I tell them, I'll get you out of here.
I think if I was at, if I walked into a room and there was a giant stack of free books and a free, like, smorgasbord buffet, I would freeze. I would be paralyzed. And if they said you can only go to one or the other, I would not know. I'd be like, smorgasbord, books, smorgasbord, or books. I don't know what I would do.
Well, you know, speaking of our love for books, I'm excited about this part the most. Mrs. Mm-hmm. T, can you please tell us tell our listeners what you're doing here with Literacy Advocacy.
Well, Mrs. P is very excited to tell you that we're still in our fifth annual Be a Famous Writer contest. And we're involved with all sorts of schools, and their classrooms are writing stories about magic. And they'll send that story in. We have some incredible judges, including the much celebrated Craig Ferguson of The Late Night with Craig Ferguson. He's one of our judges again this year. And we have a wonderful teacher from Iowa. And, of course, me. I'm the judge. And we will read the stories. It's the ages kindergarten to probably, I'm going to say, third grade. And this is the fun part. We have these truly amazing sponsors. We found sponsors who are willing to give books in all forms, audio, visual, online, hardcover. We have a fantastic sponsor, My On Books. They have over 4,000 books online, and they go to the school with the readers, and then you could just go, and you've got all these books at your fingertips. And so when the classroom wins, all these incredible prizes, cash and books, will go to the teacher and the school. Because, and this is me back again talking, you know, it's just so sad, isn't it, that the schools have such low supplies, and that the things that kids need, like pencils, paper, it's just so hard to come by. So we're really glad that one of the things that we got with these sponsors who were able to donate things that are so important for education, books in all forms. So we always say Mrs. P is a little bit Irish, and I like to think she's a little more ish than ire. And I always tell children that I live on an island off the coast of Wisconsin, and that I live there with my best friend, who's the Tooth Fairy, and actually one of my ex-boyfriends, Jack Frost, lives there. We had to break up because he was always nipping at my nose. It's very annoying. So being Mrs. P is one of the great joys of my life, and I get to Skype and Google Hangout with schools all across the United States, and it's so much fun watching these schools use this technology. And that was the reason that we started with Mrs. P, was because, you know, the internet is definitely here to stay, and we wanted a safe place for children to go to be read to by someone who was saying, reading is cool, and so are you. And if you read, you can have a really exciting life. And, I mean, TK, don't you think you're having an exciting life thanks to reading?
Absolutely. I don't know if anybody else thinks so, but I sure do.
You're the only one that counts.
I like that. I appreciate that. You know, I talk to a lot of people, Kathy, who they feel this sense of like, I ought to read more, and I know that my life could probably improve in a lot of different ways if I did read more, but oh, reading gives me headaches, or you know, it's just so laborious, and I never have time. Any advice to the wannabe reader adult on how they can create more space in their life for reading, and on how they can maybe spice it up a little bit and make it more fun?
I think that it's such a judgmental world, and so what you read, you could easily be judged by that, but I refuse to be judged anymore, as I said before. So I think if you want to read about romance, or like I told you, I'm in love with historical mysteries. I love the idea of, I travel a lot. I like being in one place and reading about another place. So finding something that you really enjoy reading about, and then just getting the smallest book about it that you can. And here's my tip, and you're going to laugh, but with our books, you know, both of our books, I always say, keep them in the bathroom. Keep them in the bathroom, because you're there, and just pick one up and read a little bit. And maybe it'll interest you enough to want you to move it to another room. But why not? You know, if you want to read about romance or gossip, or, you know, the excitement of Elizabeth Taylor's life or whoever's, just why not do it? Because it really does all exercise your imagination and stretch you. I mean, like I said, everybody can't be a Rhodes Scholar or read, and I you know, I'm sure Stephen Hawking's book is fantastic, but it's not what I'm interested in. So find something you're interested in and just read it, and don't beat yourself up if it takes you a long time to get through the book. You know, read what you like.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the bathroom reading plan.
Yes, it's a simple one. I know. Do people talk about bathrooms on blog radio? I don't know. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Let's
now
be honest.
They do.
Now they do. That's right. That's me. Groundbreaker.
So, you know, Kathy, for the last few minutes of this interview, we're going to do a soundbite Q&A session where we'll have Fiona ask you 6 questions, and you'll just give us the first answer that comes to your mind. We're only looking for like a quick one to two sentence response, and we like to end all of our shows this way because it's kind of a way for our listeners to get a glimpse of the more personal side of the person we're talking to. So if you're up for a little bit of a shotgun questions, we like to
I'm ready.
Now.
Sounds
right.
Fun.
Ready, Kathy?
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh, okay, let's go. Who is the most influential person living in the world right now?
Me, in my own world, infinite possibilities to change.
Oh. Great answer. What is the best book you've ever read?
You know, I'm going to say To Kill a Mockingbird. I love that book.
Okay, question number 3. What is your definition of success?
Stepping into the circle of the world and grabbing the hand on the person on either side of me and just feeling the goodness.
Wow, that might lead into our next question. What's your favorite pick-me-up when you're feeling down or when you need an energy boost?
You're going to laugh. I watch Turner Classic Movies. I love old black and white films.
Cool. Okay, 5th question. What's the worst advice you ever got?
After my first movie, someone told me, there's nothing left for you to do as an actor. Give it up.
Okay, last question. What is your favorite word in the English language?
I'm going to say joy. Nice, round little word, joy.
Kathy, thanks for playing with us. This has been fun.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Now, you know, I know that the American teenagers have all grown up, and I know that you're very busy and you have your hands on a lot of things. Is there anything we ought to be keeping our eyes open for and our ears perked for that's coming up, whether it's on TV or whether it's anything having to do with Mrs. T or a book?
Well, I think I want to say two things. One, if you have children, definitely come to MrsP.com and see who's won the contest and look for, we put their stories, I read them, and we log them into our library. So definitely come there and hear and see what children are writing about. And two, come, you know, visit us on Facebook. I have my writing partner, Cindy, and I have, we post these positive affirmations every day, queenisms. And so if you need a little jolt of inspiration, something that's quick and might make you think about your life in a different way, then definitely come to Facebook and visit us at Queen of Your Own Life. Be happy to see you there.
Now you know, I'm no queen, but I'll be there.
Yeah, you could come. It's just, we say Queen of Your Own Life, but, you know, we mean royal person. We just happen to be women this time around, so we're like, okay, let's talk to women, but TK, anybody can come and be jolted.
I look forward to that. Well, it's been a huge pleasure.
Yeah, don't you find it hard to talk in tandem, like you're all in a different room, and you know, you've got these, we all have a microphone, and we're like, blah, 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 blah. But it's really been a pleasure to talk to you both.
It's been awesome. We look forward to following you on and keeping up with your queenisms and guiding our life accordingly.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And
happy.
Yes, Fiona, I'm very jealous that you're in Canada and that I know you can walk out the door and enjoy autumn. So please crush some leaves for me.
Oh, I'll send you a picture.
Thank you.
I'll post it over on Queenism.
Thank you, Fiona. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
You.
It was great to talk to you. I hope I speak to you soon.
We will. Take care,
Kathy. Bye.
Bye.